This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uth rahmatan lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm as-sadis min shahri Rajab. 1445 الموافق ل 18 من شهر يناير 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped last درس. And I believe last dars we talk about Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, right? So today, inshallah, we continue to deal with the tafsir of this surah al-Mubarakah, the best surah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, there is no surah in any book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed which is better than Surah al-Fatiha. And we are just trying to rush. Otherwise, if we are to give the surah it right, it takes longer time for us to reach the proper interpretation of the surah. So last time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this path that is the only path that can lead us to success in this life and the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this sirat al-mustaqim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described for us sirat al-mustaqim. So this Sirat al-Mustaqim has companions. You know, if you are to use it, you are not alone in using this Sirat al-Mustaqim. Because a journey, if you're alone, it will be easy for you to be snatched by the shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُ الذِّئِبُ مِنَ الْغَنَمْ الْقَاسِيَةِ. الذِّئِب, this is the wolf, usually catches from the sheep, الْقَاسِيَةِ. Al-Qasiyah means the one that is isolated and separates itself from others. So we need companions. Yeah? In this life, this is who we are. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through the Quran, advise you to make sure that your companions are the good ones. Right? And we talk about this many times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. Don't you ever agree to be the friend and a partner of somebody except a believer, a good one. لا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. And don't let somebody to visit your house and stay in that house and eat from your food if this person is not somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these are the only people who can benefit you. You need somebody who can tell you you're right, you're wrong. You know, whenever you're wrong, somebody who reminds you. Yeah, this is the best friend. This is your brother. The person who will see you going in the wrong direction and keeps quiet. This is your enemy. Although they claim to be your friend, but they're not. You get it? The friend of yours, your partner, your brother, is somebody who tells you the truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minu mir'atu akhihi al-mu'min. You are just like a mirror to the rest of the Muslim brothers and sisters. What does that mean? In the way you go and check yourself from the mirror to see whether you have some deficiency which you couldn't see, you know, without the support of the mirror. Your brothers and sisters also are like that. You get it? You are their mirror, you know? They see their mistakes because there are things which we do, we don't see them, but our friend sees. So friendship and brotherhood and sisterhood, the correct one is the one that says, you correct your brother, you correct your sister, rather than exposing their secret and going telling others this person is this, person is that. No, you fix them. You tell them the truth. You try to draw their attention on that which is beneficial to them. This is the person that you should be looking for. Unfortunately, nowadays, the basis of a friendship is not this. Yeah, it is based on how smart, how rich, what kind of position you have. You know, what do you have in this life? Then you have a lot of people, especially when you have the first one. The second one, richness. رأيت الناس قد مالوا إلى من عنده مالوا ومن لا عنده مالوا فعنه الناس قد مالوا. Yeah, people always look for somebody who has something. You don't have anything? nobody comes to you. Imam Shafi'i says, I have hundreds of friends. Yeah. He said, whenever calamity strikes me, I'll be looking right and left, you know, to see where are these friends that I always claim that I have. None of them is going to be with me. Yeah. That's why the poet says, صَدِقُ وَالْحَقُّ يَكُونُ مَعْكُ وَمَنْ يَضُرُّ نَفْسَهُ لِيَنْفَعْكُ وَمَنْ إِذَا رَيْبُ الزَّمَانِ صَدَّعْكُ شَتَّتَ فِيكَ شَمْلَهُ لِيَجْمَعْكُ. Your real and a true friend and brother is somebody who is always with you. Always with you. What does that mean? If you're right, he's with you. If you're wrong, also he's with you. In terms of correction. Yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma. Support and help your brother whether he is oppressing others or he is oppressed by others. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we understand. If he is oppressed by others, we can support him. But how do we support him if he is oppressing others? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tamna'uhu min al-dhulm. Supporting him means to stop him from oppression. You Allah, this is the biggest support to give to your brother. When you know that he's in the wrong direction, he's cheating, he's deceiving, tell him the truth. So he says, وَمَنْ يَضُرُّ نَفْسَهُ لِيَنْفَعَكَ. Somebody who is willing to harm himself to benefit you. Yeah, he stands with you in all circumstances. وَمَنْ إِذَا رَيْبُ الزَّمَانِ صَدَّعَكَ شَتَّتَ فِيكَ شَمْلَهُ لِيَجْمَعَكَ. Somebody who is willing to see his affairs, even if they are going to be a bit scattered, in order to fix yours. These type of people are very few. We still have them, they're very few. So what I'm trying to say is, try your best to make sure that your companions are the good ones. Don't you ever take a loser to be your friend, because you're going to end up being a loser also like them. إِذَا مَا صُحِبْتَ الْقَوْمَ فَاصْحَبْ خِيَارَهُمْ وَلَا تَصْحَبِ الْأَرْضَ فَتَبْدَأْ مَا الرَّدِي. Whenever you want to take friends, take the best one. Yeah. Let us have it arda. Don't take a loser, because you're going to also lose like them. So in our journey, we need companions. We need somebody to help us. We need somebody to support us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this path that He has chosen for us, which is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that there are people who are on it already. We're not alone. And these, subhanAllah, the example of the people that Allah SWT gave us on this path, these are the best. You Allah, أقسم بالله. You will never see better than these one that Allah SWT mentioned to be the companions of the Sirat al-Mustaqim. In Surah Al-Nisa, Allah SWT says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Because you are saying, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاط الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Ya Allah, guide me to the right path. Which one? You said, Sirat al-Ladina and Amta alayhim. The path of those whom you bestowed your mercy upon them. Who are these people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Who are your companion in the Sirat al-Mustaqim? النَّبِيُّ. لَيْسَ مِثْلُهُمْ فِي الْبَشَرِ أَبَدًا وَلَا فِي الْجِنِّ. You have the controversy among the scholars whether they're better than the angels or angels are better. It doesn't make any difference or significance in Iman. But we believe that they're the most profound, most excellent, and the best. If not because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes these guys, these prophets, these personalities, to be our role model and people who are coming to us to invite us to the truth. Wallahi, by now we don't know who we are. Yeah. I'm very impatient. He's very impatient. You are very impatient. Everyone is impatient. If I tell him, Abdurrahman, this is wrong. Abdurrahman rejected me. Tomorrow I will go to Qayyum and tell him, Qayyum, Abdurrahman is bad. Yeah. I try my best to convince him. He doesn't want to get convinced. And then he might also support me. Assalamu alaikum. Brothers, please. Yes, the one who is eating, I'm addressing you. Okay, thank you very much. Please be silent. We are reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. Please. Okay, thank you very much. So Qayyum might support me also in my inpatient. You get it? Yeah, and this is very wrong. You Allah, this is who we are nowadays. Qalili is sabr. Anytime the person will come and tell you that I have tried my best to give him da'wah. But then, how long have you been giving da'wah to him? Well, like 3 times. Yeah, these are the good ones, actually, those who are patient to go 3 times, you know? And that those 3 moments, they're more than enough for us to make conclusion. Imagine if the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were like that. Who will accept Islam? You know, Nuh alayhi salam spent his life, you know, he lived, Allah says, alf sanatin, 1,000 years given da'wah, you know, minus 50, 950 years. 950 years, you know, given da'wah. You give da'wah only 3 times and you make conclusion that these guys would never accept. They're bad, you know. And sometimes just because you meet 1 or 2, 3, then you generalize. All in the community here, don't waste your time. They will never listen. Yeah. So I just want you to understand who those heroes were, you know. They stoned them. They persecuted them. They killed some of them. But never stopped them, you know. When one of them decided to take another, you know, path to go to other people, not to stop giving the da'wah, no, to go to other people. Who was that? Yunus alayhi salam, right? He left his people, not because he didn't want to give the da'wah. No, he's giving da'wah. He don't want to accept. Left them to go and see, maybe he will get other people also to give da'wah. But Allah blamed him badly and punished him, that harsh punishment, you know. He caused him to be swallowed by the whale. If not because of his dedication to Allah and tasbih, that mistake, which we might say is simple, you know, can cause him his life. Allah says, "La labitha fi batnihi ila yawmi ba'thun." He could have stayed in the stomach of the whale until the day of judgment. So these are the prophets who were with you, the most patient, the most tolerant, you know, the most dedicated, you know, entities. And you will never see somebody who is more righteous and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than them. The first was Adam alayhi salam, and the last was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not leave this life without leaving for us whatever we need to succeed and to pass the test in this dunya. Wallahi, everything you need, with no exception, it is there in the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's just laziness from us, we don't read. So that's why we don't see what we're looking for. We end up looking for the wisdom from other than our prophets and our heroes. Yeah, we're proud of sharing wisdoms taken from the enemies of Allah, real enemies of Allah. And we neglected the real one that takes you to success in this dunya and also the akhirah, because we don't read. But everything is there in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not leave this life before giving us what we need to pass the test. So it's just up to us to check and get that which he mentioned and use it so that we can attain the success in the way they succeeded. So the first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that they're using this path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, they're the prophets. You know, the best one to be imitated. Min al-Nabiyyin al-Siddiqeen, al-Siddiqoon. Who are the Siddiqoon? These are the ones that are very firm in terms of Iman, very strong in terms of Iman. Number one, if you talk about Siddiqoon, is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He wallah. You will never see somebody like him, you know, other than the prophets. Number one that comes if you subtract the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Abu Bakr. His Iman is unique, very great. The way he trusts the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's why his sajiyah, his tabiyah, it becomes almost similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell you something. If you go to Abu Bakr, you'll find Abu Bakr also telling you the same thing. Yeah, this is the system, you know, and this is who he was since before, you know. When he decided to migrate, Ibn Dugunna met him. You know, he told him, "Yeah, Abu Bakr, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to leave this place." He said, "To where?" He said, "I'm looking for another place where I can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you guys don't want me to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this place." Ibn Dugunna said, "No, never. Somebody like you cannot be taken out of this place. Innaka latasilur rahim wa tahmil al-kal." You know, the same thing Khadija was telling about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is also saying the same thing about Abu Bakr. You are this, you are that, you are this. You know? These are friends, you know. He's the closest friend to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his iman is unique. When they try to distract him from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Isra wal Mi'raj, you know, to them it's very strange, and it's something that is enough to them, I mean, for them to distract people from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, they made a mistake. They talked to Abu Bakr. They told him, "Did you know what your friend said?" He said, "What did he say?" He said, "They said he went to Bayt al-Maqdis in one night." He said, "Oh, he said that?" He said, "Yes, yes." They were so happy now Abu Bakr is going to reject Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Yeah, they said that." He said, "I just want to confirm. Did he say that?" He said, "Yeah." "You sure he said that?" He said, "They said, yes, he said." He said, "I believe in that." They were shocked. They said, "You believe in this? You know, a place, a distance that we need 1 month for us to reach. And he said he reached that place in one night. And you accept that?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Why not?" He said, "The man is telling me an angel is coming to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any moment. And I agree with this. And then you want me to deny going to Bayt al-Maqdis? To me, going to Bayt al-Maqdis is much easier than that one." And he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Ya Rasulullah, they said you went to Bayt al-Maqdis." He said, "Yes." He said, "Sadaqt." He said, "You are right." You know, that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at the kind of iman he has and the honesty, subhanAllah, he is the only one to my knowledge, when he gives charity, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is confirming to see what exactly everyone is giving, when Abu Bakr tells him that I give everything, you know, I have, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not make any comment in the sense of asking him to reduce. The rest, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell them, no, be moderate, take someone, give some, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ. Abu Bakr, when he says, "Ya Rasulullah, I left for my family nothing except Allah and His Messenger," he just accepts. لَيْسَ مِثْلَهُ. Nobody is like Abu Bakr. Al-Hasan al-Basri said, Abu Bakr did not supersede the companions of Rasulullah because of too much praying and too much fasting. He's very moderate in that. But he superseded everyone because of the iman that is in his heart. He prays, but not like that person who maybe praying the whole night. You know, you might say, Abu Bakr is praying the whole night, you know, fasting every day. No, he doesn't. He pray every night, but moderately. Pray and sleep, just like what the Prophet ﷺ guided them to do. One of the moments that I remember, you know, Abu Bakr was with the Prophet ﷺ after Fajr. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Who is fasting today?" Abu Bakr said, "I am the one, Rasulullah." And he was the only one who's responding. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Who gave charity today?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I am the one." Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Who visited a sick person today?" He said, I did, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Who prayed for janazah?" "I did, Ya Rasulullah." "Who accompanied the janazah to the grave?" He says, "Ana, Ya Rasulullah." I mean, you go with the narration that says Fajr, it's just the beginning of his day, you know. What will happen after that then? Rasulullah ﷺ said, these acts of worship will never be combined in one person at once, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him to Jannah. He once talked about Jannah having doors. Abu Bakr said, "Ya Rasulullah, is there any possibility for somebody to be invited from all of these doors?" He said, "Yes. And inshallah, I hope you will be one of them." So Allah says, "Min nabiyyin wa siddiqin." So these are your partners. You see, now you should become, you know, very interested in joining this path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. Because you're going to be with who? The messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't tell me, no, now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead, I'm not going to be with him physically. Yes, you're right. But he left for us the most important thing, which is the sunnah, right? Yeah, you follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's like you're with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You follow the virtues and the guidance, you know, the manners of those siddiqoon, like Abu Bakr. Yeah, you're with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Minan nabiyyin wa siddiqeen wa shuhada. Those people who died defending the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the battlefield. They have, subhanallah, in special respect in Islam. You know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about them? He says, Allah forgives their sins with the first drop of blood that is going to hit the ground. He will wipe out every sin they committed, you know. Whatever they did between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of sin, the first drop of blood that hits the ground would clean everything. So the second one, when it comes, it doesn't find any sin to remove. That will be elevation in ranking. That's why they have no question in the grave. No question in the grave. You know, we're all worrying about what will happen to us in the grave. Inshallah, we'll pass the test by idhnillah azza wa jal. Let's make it a reality. And all of us are claiming, right, that inshallah we'll pass, but we have to make it a reality. Work for this. Allah says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوْ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. You want the akhirah, you work for it. Not just I want akhirah, I want firdaus, but then sleeping at home, right? They said somebody slept, oh, these are just akhbar as-salihin. Yeah, he slept and he saw a dream. He saw one of the hurlain. He got distracted. He said, how can I be your husband? She told him, cannot. So embarrassing. He said, why? She said, because my mahar is qiyamul layl. Allahu alam, this is just a dream, you know. But we can use it as istinas, right? But you want akhirah, you have to work for it. Yeah, you want firdaus, act like a person who is going to firdaus. Yeah, not to exhaust yourself, Allah doesn't want this. To be sincere in what you are doing, to be consistent, this is what Allah wants. Sincerity and consistent, although it is little, but you're very consistent, you know. You try your best not to miss any righteous deed. Yeah, you want to pray every day, 2 rakat, those 2 rakat, you don't miss them. That's what Allah SWT wants from you. You want to pray 11 rakat, your witr, don't miss. You want to pray 5 rakat, your witr, don't miss those ones. Every day do it. This is what Allah wants. It's better than the one you do sometimes, and sometimes you don't do. Still, that is good in that person also, who does sometimes that is do. You know, that's good. Better than those who are not doing at all. But the one that is more beloved to Allah is the person who is doing it constantly. So shuhada, you know, no question in the grave, no question in the hereafter. In the hereafter also, they will not go through the hisab. And subhanAllah, and they will receive one of the best positions in Jannah. And they're the only one that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they will be wishing and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take them back to the dunya. Who will go to Jannah and ask Allah to take him back to the dunya? Except shaheed. Why? Because of what he will be seeing in his Jannah. He will say, Ya Allah, just because I got killed, I got all of these, Ya Allah, I want to go back to get more and more. You know, subhanAllah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Damu shaheed yafuhu miskan yawm al-qiyamah. The blood of a shaheed is pouring misk. You know misk, right? The perfume, right? It says, Allawnu lawnu dami wa rihu rihu al-misk. You get the idea? Yeah, so these are the best ones in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who contributed in preserving that religion. But jihad has its own principles. It's not what you see nowadays. You know, people are taking weapons, you know, going and killing everyone. And sometimes even Muslims also are affected. You have people who kill the Muslims in the masjid. And they tell you they are doing jihad. They kill the Muslim in the masjid and they tell you they're doing jihad. They go to marketplace and kill. They kill our securities and they tell you they're doing jihad. A'udhu billah. That's why, as I said, it's always good to have a correct scholar to teach you. Yeah, don't go randomly and pick up everyone. It's very dangerous. You Allah, you might be very dangerous to the community. You know, put yourself into a dangerous situation and also be really dangerous to the community. So be very selective, as they say, al-isnadu min ad-din fanzuru amman ta'khuduna dinakum. Isnad, not just a chain of transmission. The knowledge you're taking from the scholars, it's part of the deen also. And therefore, you should be very selective. Make sure that you take somebody who has knowledge and is also at the same time murabbi. You get the idea? Has knowledge and also at the same time murabbi. So, min an-nabiyyin was-siddiqina wash-shuhada. Was-salihin. And then the last one is as-salihun, the righteous people. Assalamu alaikum. Brothers, please. Yeah, I'm just addressing you, please. So, من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين والصالحون. These are the righteous people. Below the prophets, below the صديقون, below the شهداء, and you have the normal righteous people. Who is the righteous person? somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also has good manners. Yeah? It's as simple as this. He fears Allah and he has good manners. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fast and do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do. And in his relationship with others, he has good manners. He's somebody that people will be sad when they leave him or when he leaves them. Please do take this behavior and attitude. Wherever you go, make sure you leave a legacy. Make sure you are the person that when you go, people will be sad, people will be crying. Allah, we have seen people like that. When they leave a place, the community believes that definitely a vacuum is going to be, existing in this place because of their disappearance. And there are some people when they go, people are like, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allah, there are people when they die, others are saying Alhamdulillah, and everyone is saying Alhamdulillah. The earth is saying Alhamdulillah. Yeah? The community, the environment is saying Alhamdulillah. Not just human being. Everyone is saying Alhamdulillah. In Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he cuts some people off from the root, what did he say? فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those criminals, we cut them from the root. He says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Yeah. Because the criminals, when they exist, who is going to be harmed? The whole community, including the animals and the insects. Nobody will be, in a good position. Yeah. Their existence is tragedy to the community. That's why the authority should focus on criminals, the corruptors. The righteous people should be promoted, given a chance. Because their existence is the success of the community, Allah. Their existence is the success of the community. From whatever race, color, language, whatever they are, their existence is the success of the community. You get mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of them. You get respite by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of them. And you get nothing except evil because of the existence of the bad ones among us. Because when the punishment from Allah comes, it is going to afflict them alone? No. It's going to come to us also. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Yeah, because of the corruption they are doing, when the punishment from Allah comes, whoever is in that community also is going to be affected. So, righteousness is based on what? Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good manners. So these are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to take as friends. And they are increasing or decreasing? Decreasing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَذْهَبُ الصَّالِحُونَ فَالْأَمْثَلُ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. He takes the righteous people one after the other to be going, until the time you don't find except, subhanallah, people, I don't know how to describe them, useless. One after the other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the righteous one. So try your best to be counted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost as a righteous person. You will get all the privileges and support by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will cast your love in the heart of others in this community of ours. And you need this, Allah. You need this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put your love in the heart of everyone. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. You say, Ya Allah, guide me to the path of the righteous people. To the straight path, which is the sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you bestowed your ni'mah upon them. Who are they? Prophets and the rusul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the salihin and the shuhada and the siddiqun. These are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be next to them. I guess it is clear, right? And every day, 17 times, you are asking Allah, telling Allah, Ya Allah, I don't want to be with anyone except these people. Question. Your friends, people who are in your circle, are they like this? If they're not, you should remember your word between you and Allah. Ya Allah, my main aim is to be next to these people. So what are you doing? What kind of effort are you making to make sure that you are next to these that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned? That's why when it comes to friendship, no compromise, no apology. This is you and your future. You must make sure that you are very picky and selective. You select those who you know these are the best one, better than you, or at least at the same capacity as yours. Don't take a loser as your friend. If you have one of them, stay away from them. Wallahi, this is my advice. Stay away from them. Many people get destroyed and went astray. And some people, you know, went into losing their dunya also as well because of friends. It's a very sensitive matter in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will regret in this dunya and regret in the akhirah. I wish I did not know so and so. But now you have opportunity for you to choose who to be next to you. When I say friendship and brotherhood, I'm not talking about just normal friendship that we have with every Muslim. This one has to remain. Even if they are wrongdoers, yeah, we say salam to them, we greet them, we sit with them sometimes, you know. But I'm talking about somebody who is closer to you. Somebody who's closer to you. You go with him. You stay with him. You seek his advice. You know, I mean somebody who is very close. These ones have to be the best. So you asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And then, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. You said, Ya Allah, I want to be with the salihin. I want to be with the best one. And Ya Allah, I don't want to be with the wrongdoers. And you specify, especially these ones. You say, غير المغضوب عليهم. Not the path of those whom you cast your wrath on them and those who went astray. So you told Allah, I want to be with the righteous people. And you told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't want to be with the wrongdoers, especially the Jews and the Christians. Because al-maghdub alayhim, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were the Jews. Ghayr al-maghdub alayhim, so maghdub alayhim, these are the Jews. Why they are maghdub alayhim? This is simply because they have the truth and they don't follow. Please pay attention to this. They got the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they know the truth and they reject it. The Jews, up to date, the Jews, they know what they're doing. And they know they're upon the wrong way. They know exactly, because they already agree that they're going to hell. قَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. They said, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, their predecessors said, yeah, we will go into hell, but we will go there temporarily, and then the Muslim will come and replace us in hell. They know the truth. And you see one of those leaders of the Jews, after he went and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the first time he reached Medina. His friend also amongst the leaders, he asked him, did you meet him? He said, yes. What do you think? Is he the one? He said, yes. He said, you mean the one that we are told in At-Tawrah that he will be coming? He said, yes. Wa Rabbu Musa. He says, I swear by the creator of Musa, he's the one. He said, all the features that we told you, see them? He said, yes, I see them. He said, okay, what is your plan now? His friend was asking him, what is your plan now? He said, عَزَمْتُ عَلَىٰ عَدَاوَتِهِ أَبْتَ الدَّحَرِ. He said, I have made my intention that I'm going to hate him and fight him as long as I live. Subhanallah. He said, he is the one that Musa told him he will be coming. And he's the one that At-Tawrah told him, when he comes, try to hold upon him and follow him. Don't go away from him. And now, when he realized that this prophet is not from the Jew, he's from the Arabs, he says, I'm going to hate him as long as I live. I remember his friends told him, he says, Ya Ibn Umm, he says, please, this is a very serious matter. Obey me in this matter and disobey me in anything I ask you to do throughout my life with you. He said, this is not good for him. This is not good for you. Let's go and accept him. This is better for us. He said, no. These are the Jews. And this person who is saying to him, let's go and accept him, what is he supposed to do? If his friends reject, he should go and accept, right? But he also did not do. Since his friends is not for it, he also did not want. These are the Jews. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to one of the younger people amongst the Jews, and this person is about to die, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, say la ilaha illallah. The boy looked at his father, looking for permission. The father looked at the boy, he said, Ati Abul Qasim. He said to his son, he said, obey Abul Qasim. Subhanallah. And the boy said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And he died. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy. He said, Alhamdulillah, Allah saved him. But the question is, what happened to the father? He is advising his son to accept. You know? He is supposed to be the first person to accept, you know? But he did not. The Jewish community are a very obedient community. If you're looking for the best example of the word imma, you know imma? The Prophet said, لا يكون أحدكم إما. إما is the one that says, if people are right, I'm right. If they are wrong, I'm wrong. The Jewish community are like that. Very obedient community to their leaders. That's why Rasulullah said, if I can have 10 Jews to accept Islam, he said, there will be no Jew who will remain on earth except that he will accept Islam. The scholar said, those were the leaders of the Jews. If they accept, there will be nobody amongst the Jews except that he's going to accept Islam. However, unfortunately, only one is confirmed among those leaders to accept Islam. That was Abdullah ibn Salam. Get the idea? So these are the Jews. They know the truth and they hid it. Musa says, Ya qawmi lima tu'udhunani wa qad tajahalun. He says, wa qad ta'alamun. He says, Ya qawm. He says, people, why do you keep harming me? And you know definitely that I'm coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know he's from Allah. They know he's the Rasulullah. They know he's the best. They know he's inviting them to the truth. But they really put him into trouble. They accused him. They rejected him. They did everything to make sure that his da'wah is not succeeding. These are the Jews. And you need to know this so that you will understand. And inshallah, we go at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, it's all about it. You know, we will go almost across the half of the surah, and even to cross the end, also Allah SWT will come back to them. So that you will understand why what you see now is going on, why is it happening in that way. It's good for you to know these entities so that you know how to live with them. So they know the truth, and they did not use it, right? That's why they deserve the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Christian, Allah, you were asking Allah, you said, Ya Allah, I don't want to be like the Christian. The most confused entities up to date were the Christian. Yeah, go and see the Christianity and see what they have in their faith. Subhanallah, things which they can't explain. And they still believe in that. Do you know that Trinity doesn't exist even in the book they wrote? The Bible, unless if they modify, because they keep modifying, and they talk about this modification, they themselves. Yeah, they have 43 different Bibles, and the Injil is only one. So which one is the Injil? Yeah, none. So in this book of theirs, those people who are expert in the Bible, they said even the Trinity is not mentioned. Those books, the Trinity doesn't exist. You know, this is a key element in the Iman, the Trinity. But it's missing there. They forgot to put it. You know. Quran talk about this. Because they always say it's long ago. Yeah, 500 years before the Prophet Allah, Summa, they have been talking about this Trinity and all this. When the Jew, and the Jew are the one who are behind corrupting the religion and the Sharia. Because of the hatred against Isa alayhi salam. So these are the most confusing nation up to date. That's why my experience, you know, knowing these people, the Christian, the moment somebody is serious among them, give him a few days, inshallah, he will accept Islam. The moment he starts being serious, if he's really honest and serious, give him, not very long, he will come back to the truth. Most of the people that I witnessed accepted Islam, you know, amongst the Christians, usually they started being serious. Yeah, when they started being serious, then they will be able to read the book and they will see a lot of things which akal cannot accept. And then they will start questioning, which the priest will never be happy with those questions. Yeah, because the truth is very clear and falsehood is very clear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are asking him every day to put us in the right path, which is the path of the righteous people, and to take us away from the wrong path, which is the path of the wrongdoers, especially the Jews and the Christians, and everyone who and anybody who is imitating them. And here comes the importance of knowledge, right? Indirectly, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you knowledge. You're saying, Ya Allah, I don't want to be like the Christian who worship Allah without knowledge. وَرَهْبَانِيَةً اِبْتَدَعُهَا مَا كَتَبْنَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. You know this rahbaniya, to be a monk, to go into the forest and live an ascetic life. You know, you don't eat good, you don't dress good, you stay there. And they have a lot of corruption also in that place. They're supposed to be the most pious people, but you hear some of them end up committing zina and murder in that place in the forest where there is nobody. Whenever opportunity comes, shaitan will go and deceive them. Because in our religion, we don't have this. Our religion is based on maintaining both religious and ibadat, and also being productive in benefiting the community. That's why the best in our religion is somebody who mix with people and benefit them. They benefit him. You know, he is patient, they are patient. This is the best person, better than somebody in the masjid. If I stay in the masjid, Abdurrahman goes out, and he's the one who is spending on me. You know, who is the best? He's the best. Yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated that he's better than me. Although I'm in the masjid worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, but he's better than me. Do you get the idea? We don't have this rahbana in Islam. A person says he is a man of God, and as such he will not marry. This is what we heard from them, right? Man of God, I will never marry. Right? And then what happens? Go look at the statements of the Pope to see how they warn them, because they corrupt people in the churches. Iwallah. Recently there are the commentaries that comes about them. Subhanallah. Tragedy, you know? And these are facts from them. No Muslim is involved. Yeah? These are facts coming from them. And from reliable source, which they couldn't deny. But this is the nature, because the Pope also from time to time, he let us hear that, yeah, these pastors and the priests, they should stop doing what they're doing. One of them says in Christianity, you can only stay with one person. Okay, that's fine. Go and do that. Yeah, because it's more than enough. Yes, that's very fine. But stick to that. And they found him with prostitutes many times. Yeah, when you change the system, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says marry. You said, no, I'm the man of God. I will not marry. You know, marriage is deficiency. What happens? You naturally somebody who need to relieve yourself. So they're going to do it in the wrong way. And this is what we see. This rahbaniyya doesn't exist in our religion. What exists is to combine both ibadah and also go and benefit others. Three brothers came to the house of the Prophet ﷺ and they asked about his righteous deed at home. When they are told about what the Prophet ﷺ was doing, to them, this is so little. You know Rasulullah ﷺ, right? You know how he prayed, right? Ferrari and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ in the night prayer, right? أَوْ إِنَّا أَعْطِيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ, right? It is a joke, right? When you look at what Rasulullah ﷺ is doing. He recited one prayer, Surah Al-Baqarah. That's the first rakah. Surah Al-Baqarah, I think it's about 6 ayat, right? Oh, 256, around 49 or 39 pages, right? The longest surah in the Quran. Yeah, the longest surah in the Quran. Yuqal, okay, this is just a joke, huh? That don't tell somebody that Ibrahim says this is true, you know, but Allahu Alam, you know. Somebody read, I don't know where did he get it, in the book of Hamqaul Mughafaloon, he read Surah Al-Baqarah in the prayer, and the Ma'moom, they were annoyed. Yeah, the next day when he comes, they ask him, what are you going to read? He said, no, I'm going to read very short surah today. They said, by the way, what did you read yesterday? He said, Surah Al-Baqarah. What is that? He said, cow. They say, ah, that's why. They just take it, since cow is big, right? They said, okay, however, today, what are you going to read? He said, Surah Al-Fil. They ask him, what is that? He said, elephant. They said, no, we go back to Baqarah. if Baqarah was so long, elephant, we don't know where. Anyway, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Surah Al-Baqarah, because he's alone. Yeah, if he's with people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is praying the most moderate prayer. But now he's alone. He never invited somebody to come and join him. So if you join, it's at your risk. Yeah, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud joined him. He thought it is like their prayers. He said, when he opened Surah Al-Baqarah, I was hoping that he's going to make ruku after like one juzu, and then he passed that one, passed the second one, the third one. Then I lost count. I said, for sure, he knows that now I'm with him. When he reaches the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, he's going to stop. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished Surah Al-Baqarah and then Ali Imran. 200 verses. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened Surah Al-Ma'idah. 120 verses. We're still in the first rakah. And he's going to pray 11 rakat. And then he opens Surah An-Nisa, 75 or 76 verses. Subhanallah, in one rakah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing. And you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his recitation is not like ours. Very calmly. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I was planning to commit sin. They asked him, what was your intention? He said, my intention was just to say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and run away. But then I decided to wait and see to what extent, where is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going? Imagine this is the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at night. And then somebody now is saying, this is very little. Do you get an idea? That's what we call al-ghulu, exaggeration in practicing the religion, going beyond the limit. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard them because one of them said, no, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's doing only this little one because Allah forgave his sins and he gave him paradise. So he already knows where he's going. So it doesn't matter whether he prays little or long, it doesn't make any difference. But for us, we're not sure. So we have to increase the one we are doing. One of them said, for me, I will never eat in the daytime. That means I will fast every day. The second one said, for me, I will never sleep at night. I will always pray. The third one said, for me, I will never marry because the wife is going to come and take my time. He said he will never marry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out and he told them, were you the one who was doing this and that? Who said this and this? He said, yes. They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, you should know that I fear Allah more than you. I fear Allah more than you. But I didn't do what you're doing. He said, I pray and I sleep. SubhanAllah, the most moderate life. I pray and I sleep. And I fast and I eat. And I marry. Whoever stays away from my sunnah is not one of us. So please take this message from me, that combining both ibadah and also being productive in benefiting the community is what Sharia wants you to be. Not to go to the masjid and stay like some people are doing for 40 days. You know what we see nowadays. You know, it's a waste of energy. And sometimes, subhanAllah, he goes to the masjid for 4 months. He goes to the masjid for 3 months. He goes to the masjid for 3 days. His family there are suffering. Wallahi, there are some people, their children are bad. One of them, I remember, we got him. Young boy, very corrupt. He said, my father is with these people who are going for long, but he never has time to teach us the religion. What is he doing then? This is the most important responsibility Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted to you. Neglected to your family and you go and give da'wah to who? Do you understand the idea? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more than enough for us. Did he do that? No, he did not. That means we shouldn't do, we should just stick to what he does. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just go to the masjid for 10 days in Ramadan. That's the i'tikaf, right? In the last 10 days of Ramadan. After that, we never told that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever went to the masjid and stayed for i'tikaf, except once. He did in Shawwal. Some said he combined both, Ramadan and Shawwal. Some said no, it was a makeup the Prophet ﷺ was doing. But we go with the vast majority of his life. 9 Ramadan the Prophet ﷺ fasted in Islam, and he only does i'tikaf within the year in those 9 Ramadanat. The rest, where is he? Teaching, educating, giving tarbiyah, defending Islam, you know, very involved in benefiting the community. So, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. So what you're saying to Allah, Ya Allah, I want to be with the good ones. And also, Ya Allah, I want you to take me away from the bad people, especially the Jews. So the message here is that you want Allah to grant you knowledge and also to be able to use that knowledge. Right? Because when you say, I don't want to be like a Jew, that means you don't want to be like somebody who has the knowledge, but he doesn't use the knowledge. When you say, I don't want to be like a Christian, that means you're saying, Ya Allah, I don't want to be like somebody who is worshipping you with ignorance. So you're looking for knowledge and ability to put the knowledge into practice and action. How many of us have knowledge nowadays? A lot. And how many of us are using the knowledge? Sick it, right? Only little. Among us, the rest, Allahumma staghfir. You get the idea. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. And the best and the most beneficial knowledge is the knowledge that you put into practice and action. I remember Masruq ibn al-Ajda, he told Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, please, I need more hadith. Aisha said, did you use what I gave you? He said, not yet. He said, I'm busy compiling. She said, la tukthir al-hujjaj ala nafsik. Whatever you learn, practice it. And then keep learning, practice, learn and practice. Allah grant you good. So this is Surah Al-Fatiha in brief. Yeah, we wish we can go beyond that, but we want to finish tafsir, inshallah, of the whole Quran. before we die, inshallah. Bismillah azza wa jalla. So we go with this tafsir, inshallah. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. In the next dars, inshallah, we will move to Surah Al-Baqarah. They call this Surah Kulliyat al-Sharia, the faculty of Sharia. Yeah. Why did they call it? Because in the Kulliyat al-Sharia, usually they teach everything. Because this surah, with no exaggeration, it has almost everything in it. You're looking for tawhid, is there. You're looking for ibadah, is there. You're looking for mu'amalat, is there. You're looking for history, is there. You're looking for akhlaq, is there. You're looking for business, is there. Whatever you touch, you find it in Surah Al-Baqarah. So inshallah, we're going to be dealing with this surah, inshallah, until the time Allah SWT wants us to finish. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ayum, how many questions I have?
Five?
Okay. Whatever question comes, it's late. I have to leave to pick up my kids.
The first question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Sheikh.
Assalamu
alaikum. When is it recommended to say the taslim when praying with the imam? Should he move his head after the imam's first salam and then once more after the imam's second salam? Or should he do both after the imam does both?
He does both after the imam does both. Yeah, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also we should learn not to race with the imam. Yeah, sometimes we race with the imam. Yeah, the actual way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in praying is to do things after your imam. So when the imam goes to ruku, when do I go for ruku? Usually when the imam started saying Allah, and then you see people, sometimes even faster than the imam. The imam is still like this, and the guy already went to the ruku. Yeah, I saw somebody who was going to sujood, and the imam is still in the process, and this man reached the ruku already. So he got stuck, because he knows that the imam is still up there. So he was waiting for the imam. Why? Why do you need to embarrass yourself in this way? The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they understood the message correctly. He says, when the imam does, you do. So we will not call the imam raka until the time we see his hand on the knees first. That's ruku. You get it? Then you bow. You remain standing. When the imam is saying Allah, you just remain standing. When you see the imam putting his hand on the knees, that means the imam is ruku now, then you go for ruku. The sujood, you don't go. When the imam started saying Allahu Akbar, you don't go for sujood. You wait first until the time you see his forehead touching the ground first. That's what was done by the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. They mentioned very clearly, we don't put our forehead until the time we see him put it. But nowadays, subhanAllah, see people rushing with the imam. Umar radiallahu anhu, who saw somebody racing with the imam, he called him. He says, what are you doing? Don't tell us you're praying with the imam. And don't tell us you're praying alone. So you lost both. You're not praying alone and you're not praying with the imam. That's true, right? Because if he's praying with the imam, then he should follow the imam after the imam. You get the idea. If he's praying alone, then he shouldn't join the imam at the first place. You get it? So when it comes to the salam, إِذَا سَلَّمَ فَسَلِّمُوا. When the imam says, As-salamu alaykum, then we say, As-salamu alaykum. Is that clear, inshallah? Barakallahu feekum. I mean, when he finished. If the imam is saying, we know that the imam is saying two salam, then we wait for him till he finished the two salam, and then you do the salam. Pastor.
Related to the above, if one is in a community that is one of the affirmation types, should the person just follow the jama'ah?
If the community,
for example, does 1-1 instead of waiting for the imam to finish, should he just follow the jama'ah?
No, he cannot follow the jama'ah. He just waits for the imam. In the prayer, you do the correct thing. You get it? You do the correct thing. You are in Afghanistan. Yeah, in Afghanistan, they follow the Hanafi madhab, right? So people don't say Ameen in the prayer, right? If you go to pray in the masjid in Afghanistan, what do you do? When the imam says, Wala Balin, you say Ameen. Yeah, and my neighbor from Afghanistan, he said when he said Ameen in the masjid, he realizes that he's the only one who's shouting in that masjid. And right after the prayer, everyone is looking at that place to see who is that guy, Sahibu Ameen. And they told him, why? What's wrong with you? He did not know, why did I do wrong? So they realized that they don't see him in the masjid frequently. They ask him, where are you from? He said, from Malaysia. They say, He said, please, next time don't do that, right? So if you're in that place, do you stop saying Ameen? No, you don't. But you don't say it louder. You just say it silently in the way nobody will hear. Yeah, you don't stop saying Ameen, but you don't say it louder. إِنَّ مِنَ الْمُسْتَحَبِّ تَرْكُ الْمُسْتَحَبِّ لِتَأْلِيفِ الْقُلُوبِ It is mustahab to stay away from mustahab to bring heart together. You get it? Yeah, now.
Similar to the above question, if the Imam personally believes that one should get up after the Imam's first salam for making up any misrakah, should one just follow that, or should he wait for the Imam to do both the salams before getting up to make up any missed rakat?
No, for the missing rakat, when the Imam said Assalamu alaikum, then you were separated from the Imam. Automatically, you are disconnected from the Imam, so you can stand up after his first salam and move. As for the person who already finished, you're with the Imam at the first place, then you it's better for a person not to say the salam until the Imam finish both salam first, inshallah.
The reason I ask the above is because it's possible that the Imam doesn't believe the second salam is wajib and thus may end his salah with
the second salam is not wajib actually. The Imam is correct in the first place. Yeah, there are some narrations actually that says even the Prophet made one salam only. Although the sunnah is to make two salam, yeah, especially when you are in the places where if you make only one salam, you will confuse others, right? Although you know that this is sunnah, but it's mustahab to stay away from some sunnah if you know that you're going to cause confusion to the people. Get it? So the second salam is not wajib. The first one is rukun. The first one is rukun. Yeah? The second one is sunnah. You know?
So thus the imam may end his salah with just one salam. Yeah. So what does one following him do if he believes the second salam is wajib?
He does two, can do two. In this situation, if you go against the imam, it's okay, no problem. You can do two. You can follow the imam, only one, and you can do two also.
The fifth question, Sheikh. How can Al-Fatiha unlock and uplift our positive energy or aura in certain numbers of recitation? What's the connection between these two?
I don't get that question.
How can Al-Fatiha unlock and... How can Al-Fatiha unlock and uplift our positive energy in certain numbers of recitation?
Positive energy?
Certain numbers of?
Recitation.
Repetition. There's some Sufi question. I don't get it.
Okay, generally, I don't get the question, but generally, Surah Al-Fatiha, if a person is to read it correctly and also apply it, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it, you apply it, it will lead you to success and it will make you a better person, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. All that you need is to make sure that every single ayah, you put it into action. Yeah, that's the benefit of Quran. Read and act upon it, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, alhamdulillah, you always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean you do whatever you want and just say thank you. No, you do what He wants and say alhamdulillah. You get the idea? Lillah, you understand that all of your activities and your righteousness have to be directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there we go. Every single thing that we have said and the scholars have mentioned, which is related to tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, you apply it in your life. You know, barakallahu fiqh.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
If the father is very busy, is he allowed to pass on the responsibility of tarbiyah to his oldest son or to his wife?
Yes, if as long as they can do it. No, the wife is already included.
Okay.
Yeah, the wife is already in murabbiya. He doesn't need to transfer anything. By default, she's like him in tarbiyah. Everyone has his own role to play. But okay. His son, the older son, if they can do the job correctly, yeah, what they're doing is part of his activity. You get the idea? What they're doing is part of his activities because he was the one who gave them the tarbiyah, which will enable them now to give tarbiyah to others. But he must make sure that they're doing it correctly. If they don't do it correctly, he should be blamed. You know, yeah. The best is not to stay away from giving tarbiyah to the kids. Get the cooperation of others, but these are some of the things that you shouldn't leave somebody do it on your behalf. You know, even if that person is a father and the mother, should be standing upright. Because the effort you might be putting, they might not put in that way. You get the idea? And especially also time changes. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, our parents, they did an excellent job. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward them. But there are certain tarbiyah behind, which if you apply it nowadays, the kids will be corrupt. You get the idea? If you're going to do the same thing, your children will be corrupt. Alhamdulillah, you manage. You got beaten when we were young. A lot. And did I complain to my friend? Never. Because if I complain to him, he will tell me, I also, my father smacked me just now. I know that I'm wasting my time. Right? So alhamdulillah, we are the way you see us. That tarbiyah of them, does it work? Yes, it did. It did. But if I am to do the same thing in my time with my kids, what kind of people am I going to? You know, sometimes you might wake up and see your child already left the house. Because you might be the only person who is beaten. So if I touch, I smack him, he's going to discuss with his friends. His friends are going to influence him to have bad relationship with us, to see me as an enemy. You get the idea? That's why in all circumstances, the best way of giving tarbiyah is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since I'm responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah would not talk to my parent about my kids, but he talks to me. That means it's my primary job, not my father's job. Not my father's job. He will not be blamed. I will be blamed. He did his part of giving me tarbiyah, and inshallah he passed, but now my role. That's why you don't give your tarbiyah to anybody else. Yeah. If you give it to somebody else, then you have to make sure that they can do it in the best way. In the way you can take the back seat and relax, which you shouldn't. Yeah, you shouldn't. Allah grant us good.
Is wiping your face after making dua sunnah, or is it?
There are hadith which says to wipe, so that's why you have controversy of the scholar. The Bayhaqi narrated some hadith that says after you finish, you wipe your face. And if you look at the chain of the transmission of those narrations, you will find them all weak. So that's why you have the controversy of the scholar. Some says do, some say don't do. Do you get the idea? But you don't call it bid'ah. It's not, because it has some root. It depends on how do you see those hadith. Do you get the idea? If you stay away from it to be on the safe side, that's okay. Because the most important thing is raising up the hand. Whether you wipe, you don't wipe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears your dua. And this is my advice to all of you. Whenever you see controversy among the scholars, these group are saying halal. The other group are saying haram. Be on the safe side. Even if you don't take a side, but just be on the safe side. Which one is the safe side? Stay away from it. Even if you don't call it haram, but just stay away. Get it? Some of them are saying wajib, some of them are saying mustahab. Which one is the safe side? Do it. Although if somebody asks you, Adam, what is your opinion? Is it wajib? You say, no, I don't have any opinion, but I personally want to stay away from it because I see the controversy among them is very strong. Yeah. By doing this, you will be saved. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you stay away from shubha, you protect your religion and your honor and dignity. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I'm very sorry, my son is in the school. I have to go and pick him up. Okay. Qayyum, apologize on my behalf.